I believe it would be helpful if we shared with you the announcement that beginning this week, this month, we're going to be focusing on missions and missionary work. Our elders will be meeting on Tuesday, and the subject of missions will be the leading subject of our conversations on that Tuesday afternoon. And so Jackie has already spoken to you about the baby bottles and the offering for that ministry, wonderful, wonderful ministry. And we have missionaries coming to speak to us, and of course today is no exception. We are so privileged to have this beautiful, beautiful young lady Maya with us today. She's a true servant of Jesus, and we've known her and supported her ministry here for several years. And as we keep listening and paying attention to news, there just isn't enough that we can do to pray for our young people. It's beyond, I believe, our I don't even believe we have the human capacity to understand what's happening in this nation with our young people. Therefore, every ministry, every faithful ministry that addresses the needs of young people is crucial in these days. And so, of course, we invite you again. Maya will be speaking during our dialogue hour in the lower area. You'll take some questions, right? You're not afraid to answer questions. It's not a news conference, but you'll answer questions. And so, Maya, we're just so delighted to have you and your ministry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I'm sure by now, if you're awake, you probably have gathered that this Sunday morning, we are celebrating the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to his throne in heaven beside his Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I probably don't need to tell you, or maybe I should, that the festival of the Ascension receives very, 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 very little notice in churchianity around the world today. It's been this way for years. I can recall as a young lad in church as a high school or later in college, very, very, very few congregations held a service on Thursday, 40 days after Easter. Ascension is always 40 days after Easter. It's always on a Thursday, and most churches probably didn't even know that the day existed. It certainly doesn't appear on secular calendars. And so it seemed in my heart of hearts that it was extremely important this year that we not let this festival day go by. We rearranged our Wednesday prayer circle to Thursday so that we could combine the worship and the prayer on the day of the festival of our Lord's Ascension. And I might mention that today this Christ candle is lit for the final time. Now, I know perhaps many of you don't pay much attention to symbolism, but you know, we live in a world of symbols. I just began to think about that this week when we spoke about this will be the final day, because the Christ candle is brought into sanctuaries on the eve of Christmas, the birth of our Lord, and it remains throughout the time until his ascension, and then it is removed because it marks the earthly life of our Lord Jesus. And some people have said to me, well, I don't think symbols are important. I'm not into symbols. Well, folks, you may not realize it, but you're into symbols. If you get into an automobile, you better be into symbols. We don't use words anymore. I can't figure out half of what those buttons in the car are because they're all some foreign symbols. And this is true with appliances. It's true throughout our culture today. So we are a symbolism-addicted people. But when it comes to Christian matters, oftentimes symbolism seems either to be put aside or possibly forgotten. I recall as a young lad being in a congregation with majestic, huge stained glass windows, awesome, awesome windows that told the story of Jesus and of Father God and the Holy Spirit. And even in an empty, empty sanctuary, the message of the gospel spoke loudly through those windows. And church bulletin covers and artists for centuries have sought to capture through symbolism, painting, even musical art forms, the beauty of the gospel message. And so that's all there for us to lay hold of and to enjoy. As a young lad, I had the privilege of being in a congregation that had a very, very, very powerful preacher. He wasn't exactly what you would call a bedside pastor, but he was a powerful preacher and church administrator. And I can still remember today, 60 years later, a number of his messages that he gave. And the one that stuck in my mind this week was a message he gave on a Thursday night at Grace Lutheran Church in Ohio. And he entitled the message, The Forgotten Festival. The Forgotten Festival. I've always remembered that because he was making the point that the ascension marks one of the most pivotal events in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church has set aside each year specific dates and days and seasons as festivals, you might say as a kind of skeleton, around which then and over which the messages of the gospel and the messages of the truth of the Bible are overlaid. But the festivals give structure to the whole worship of the church year after year after year. There are seven church festivals, and I just wonder how many of them you could name. Now, I know you could name Easter and Christmas. Okay, those two we'll give you. But what are the other five? Well, it starts with Advent, and then Christmas, and then Epiphany, and then Good Friday, and then Resurrection Sunday, and then Ascension, and then Pentecost. Those are the seven. And we celebrate each of them here in this congregation because they are foundational to our understanding of the gospel, but also of our ministry of outreach that follows. So as we today celebrate this great, great festival of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say just a few words to you about something that I entitled The Kingship of Jesus. The Kingship of Jesus. You know, in America, we are what is historically referred to as a democratic republic. We are a democratic republic. And we don't know a lot about kinging in America. In fact, we began with the spirit of independence, and unless I'm sadly mistaken, the spirit of independence is growing and growing and growing as more and more and more people stand upon and rely upon and proclaim, even in protest, their absolute independence, even independence from righteousness, holiness, and so on. We are an independent people. But I was reminded of all of this because just a few days ago, the world, the entire world, celebrated a coronation of royals. And I didn't have much time. I didn't take much time. I watched a little of it. And the outlay, the outpouring of just unbelievable precision and majestic activity, marching, playing, singing. It was almost overwhelming. Not to say anything about the millions and millions and millions of dollars that are spent to put forth a coronation of that magnitude. And I don't imagine that the estimates are very accurate, but they're overwhelming, of the millions and millions of people around the world that actually watched this day of coronation. Now, that's fine. England has its traditions, and that's great. We don't have that tradition in America. But I believe there's one unfortunate part of this. The Brits understand royalty. They understand something about the transcendence of authority and power, even though today the King of England is essentially a figurehead. He's not the real authority and power of Great Britain, but he's there and he's very, very crucial to the life of Great Britain. Here, we don't have such a tradition. And so when the church seeks to proclaim the kingship of Jesus, it's almost a foreign term. We think of Jesus the Good Shepherd, Jesus teacher, Jesus the healer, Jesus the friend of children. We have all different pictures and memories and ideas of Jesus. But rarely, rarely do you see the portrayal of Jesus as king. And that's one of his three great prophetic fulfillments of his office. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Covenant, Old Testament prophetic offices of prophet, priest, and king. And king is a vital part of his work as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords. And while we may not be familiar with all of the scriptures and all of the teaching of the kingship of Jesus, it would seem that maybe especially at this time in our history, in our time, we give some thought to what it means to declare loyalty not to a king of a nation, but to the King of all kings, the King of all who are doing any kinging, the King of all who are doing any lording. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this scripture visits with me often that one day, Philippians 2 tells us every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord means sovereign, King. To the glory of God the Father. Now, we have the privilege of declaring that today, but this is more than and I don't want to get this into the weeds theologically. That's not where this scripture and this principle belong. It doesn't belong in the theological weeds of past history. I believe the gospel is calling us to bring forth the teaching and the practice of King Jesus in our daily lives. What does it mean as a Christian to have Jesus as your king? What does that mean? What is the implication, what is the obligation of declaring that Jesus is king? You know, I look back through hymnals and I look back through some poetry books and I look through a couple of art books I have. And I want to tell you, there's very, very, very little focus on Jesus as king. There are a few great hymns that we could sing and have sung over the years. We sang one of them, Crown Him with Many Crowns, today. But there are very, very, very few. There are very few paintings artwork, sculptures of Jesus the King. And there's very, very, very little poetry and writing about Jesus as King. And yet, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we practice the principle or not, he remains King. And I find at times when I can reflect quietly for a while, it's a bit unsettling to realize that one day, you and I, we're going to stand before the King of Kings. And we will give account to him of our lives. And we will hear his judgment spoken to us who claim to be his followers. To me, that's a sobering, sobering thought to carry with us. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. First of all, I want to go back to Acts chapter 1 that we read earlier. There are a couple of what I thought powerfully amazing, almost humorous statements there. So we go back to Acts. It's a long way back here. Chapter 1, and if you have your sword with you, you just might want to look at this. Jesus is preparing his disciples for his ascension, literally for his coronation, which occurred, of course, in heaven. And it says in Acts 1:6, when they had come together, they asked of him, "Lord, is this the time that you're going to restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Now let that question be for you a confirmation of how difficult it is to separate our thinking from secular habitual training to kingdom gospel truth. Now these disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd heard every teaching, every parable. They'd seen every miracle, but they were still focused on Rome. They were still focused on the fact that they were a nation under domination by Roman pagans and Roman authority. So when they heard Jesus speak about his leaving, they were asking, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? Not the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus, but the kingdom of Israel. In other words, when are you going to kick the Romans out and give us back our nation, our land, our authority, our freedom? Wow, I can understand their concern. There's many asking that question around the world today. But I want you to look at Jesus' answer. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his power or in his authority." Now, I this is cleaned up a lot, but in common street English, Jesus' answers to these disciples was, when they asked at this time, what his answer was, it's none of your business. It's none of your business about the times or the seasons. That's all within the sovereignty of Almighty. That's a tough principle for us to get a hold of today. Because we ask similar kinds of questions. But what does the Lord say? Whenever we question the Lord, he points us to real truth. And so in verse 8, he says to them, "It is for you to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth." So don't worry about Rome. Don't worry about the Muslims. Don't worry about the pagans. Because I am authorizing and empowering you to be my witnesses throughout the earth. And that mandate has not changed today. I believe every ministry that calls itself a Christian ministry is under the mandate to share and spread the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus. That's why we spent a whole year last year studying the message of the kingdom of God. to get our minds off just church and just daily life, and to listen to what Father God has to teach us about being a part of the kingdom of Almighty God. And then I thought there was another very interesting verse here. It says, verse 9, after he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of his sight. And then in verse 11, it says, this same Jesus which is taken up from you. Now, all these years I've been preaching and teaching, I never spent any time focused on what's this taken up business. I'm sure you never thought about it. You know, somehow I believe it kind of comes to us that because Jesus is the Son of God, Almighty God, that on Resurrection Day, he kind of rose himself up. Or maybe on Ascension Day, he kind of took himself, he rose himself up into heaven. No such thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we're not going to look it up. You trust me on this one. It says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body. Jesus didn't raise himself. He was raised up by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that enabled him to do his ministry all these years. So what does it say at ascension time? Jesus was taken up. He didn't lift himself up. He wasn't shot out of a cannon. He was taken up into heaven by the angels and by the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, as Jesus was raised by the power of Almighty God from the grave, you will be raised. As Jesus was taken up on Ascension Day, there will come a time when you will be taken up to the very throne of Almighty God. Bless the Lord. One final scripture that I want to, well, I actually have a few, but in the interest of time, I want to take you to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Boy, there are some marvelous, wonderful scriptures about Jesus, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. First Timothy chapter 6. This is one of the great, great declarations of the festival of the Ascension. It says, verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. It's kind of like the angel speaking to those on the Mount of Ascension. Don't worry about what time it is. You give your heart, you give yourself to your ministry. And here in verse 11, that ministry is clearly delineated. On with verse 12, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. There again, in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? The declaration of the Word of God and of Scripture. Who is this Jesus? He's King of Kings, and He's Lord of Lords. And Father God in Psalm 2 prophetically declared, Psalm 2, I have installed my King. And so for all those who are kinging, for all those who are lording, Father God has installed the King on His holy hill in Zion, and He shall rule forever. Let us pray. Father, we acknowledge Your kingship of Your Son, Jesus. We acknowledge, O Lord, His lordship. But today, on this festival of the Ascension, we pray, O God, that we may flesh out in our lives the lordship and kingship of Jesus, our Savior. It's not easy to be submitted. It's not easy to walk humbly before You. But our hearts, O Lord, desire that You be the King of our hearts, the Lord of our lives. That's why this congregation is named Jesus is Lord Church. We honor You, we bless You on this day of coronation, Lord Jesus. Amen. Go in peace and with joy serve the Lord.